Well, Pastor Don is gone, and you got the old boy. Would like to have you use your Bibles today. We're going to read kind of along as I preach, and I want you to look at the words from the Word of God itself. We are going to be preaching from Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 41, and I didn't want to ask Adam to read all those verses. We're going to kind of go through them. This is a follow-up sermon from the last time I got to preach. I think it was in the spring. This is what I would call a sermon on the hinge of history. This is when everything changed. You remember this? This is at Pentecost. What I'm going to preach today is the sermon that God gave Peter when the Holy Spirit was given. I'll try to catch you up on a little bit of the details. I'll start reading the scripture in a little bit. You're all looking there. You got a Bible in front of you. If you don't have your own, there's one right in front of you. Same one. I'll begin reading in 2:14 a little while from now. I'm going to give you what God leads Peter to say at Pentecost. This is at Pentecost. It's important for you to understand when this takes place, who's involved, and what he says, and why he says it. The when, this is background. You don't mind background. It don't hurt you to remember some of this stuff. The when is 50 days after the resurrection, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became a man, he always called him the Son, he called himself the Son of Man when he was down here. He became a man who died on the cross for your sins and mine too. He died on the cross for our sins, and the great thing is he rose again victorious over my, as you know the Lord, your sins, your death, your hell. It went away. And when I go to your funeral or you go to my funeral, you can tell people he's gone up, not down. Because we'll find that out right here. So we got the when. Now, he has appeared on this before this time. 10 days before this, Jesus had left in the ascension. Jesus had been, Jesus, you remember that. Jesus died, rose again the third day, and for 40 days, the resurrected Savior walked this earth for 40 days. So many people saw him. Many people talked to him. So we know that the resurrected Christ was the man who walked on this world, was the Son of God, did die for our sins, rose again victorious over sin and death and hell, and he walked on this earth. And these people, including Peter, saw him. They saw him. And this is what they saw. Up he went, 40 days afterwards. And he had told them to wait until the Holy Spirit was going to come. They didn't get all the details that we're going to get today. I'm trying to give you all the details. I got a little extra time. You can just relax. It'll take me a while to get where I'm going. You knew that, didn't you? So he ascends up to heaven. And then 10 days later, though I get the where. It's back in Jerusalem. Jesus is gone. 10 days have gone by. And we get all that stuff at Pentecost. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. That's when, 10 days later, 50 days later, here we are in our scriptures. That's where we are. Let's see. I got to where, Jerusalem, all gathered in one accord, it says. And what happens? Well, everybody likes to preach on this, and all the people like to think about this. This is what happened on Pentecost. And I read this real careful, and this time I got something that cleared up for me. There was a sound like a mighty wind. Now, I got the impression in my reading that it was a great wind blowing. That's not what it says. I think that's what drew all the people to this place. There was a sound like a mighty wind. If it was a mighty wind, they would be all looking this way. It sounded like a mighty wind, so people were, what in the world is going on? And they were drawn. I think that's what it is. They were drawn here. I might be right, and you can't prove I'm wrong, so just take it that way. Then the next thing that everybody talks about, there was tongues of fire. No, it says tongues as if like fire. Another thing I want you to notice, that at Pentecost, when it was tongues as if a fire, if it was burning, they would have felt it on their lid. But this like fire came and sat on top of these people, everybody. So here's this great noise, this looking like fire coming down from heaven. I guess you would be impressed, right? And I guess if you wasn't impressed then, you would be impressed that everybody around who spoke from all different countries. All these are Jewish people, all different countries, all different people come in for the Passover. All they were there and they all spoke in tongues, but everybody heard them in their own tongue. That's an amazing thing. Everybody heard them in their own tongue. An amazing thing. That's what's happened. And God picked a man. Oh, boy, I like Peter. God picked a man. It just had to be him. And now we pick it up, what Peter has to say. In Acts chapter 2, I pick it up in verse 14. All these things have been happening. Peter steps up, and this is what he says. I'm going to read part of it, and then I'm going to talk to you about it, and then I'm going to read some more part. But I want you to read this with me today. Just follow it as I read it. You don't have to read it out loud. You listen to me. If you've got the Pew Bible, it's the same Bible I got. But Peter, there he is, standing up with 11. Oh, they're all there. All the disciples are there. He's standing up with 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For those are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. They did drink a lot there, I guess, but not there. I shouldn't have said that. That isn't very good. Okay. Look at verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, he is going to quote an Old Testament prophet. And I have to read the whole thing. This is what the prophet said those hundreds of years before. This is what he said. This is what Joel talked about. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they were there. Can you imagine yourself listening to this? He says, this is what Joel said a long time ago. I will pour out my spirit on them, then they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and moved into blood. And all that's going to happen the second time, but some of it happened right then. The verse I want to do, I can't skip it. We'll read 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and moved into blood before coming of the great day of the awesome day of the Lord. That's still future. But here is the present. This is what they were in. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's happened ever since then. I've been preaching for 50 years, and there's been many a time when somebody has called on the name of the Lord, sometimes in this church, sometimes in other churches, and you know what happened? They got saved. Yes, sir. That's it. Well, let me see if I'll take a look at my notes. Once in a while, it pays attention to look at them. Let me see. Oh, yeah, I want to tell you what this is his sermon. He starts with his sermon. I want you to notice it's centered in the Bible. I forgot to say that. It was Bible-centered. And we're going to see a little bit later, it's Christ-centered. And then we're going to see a little bit later in that, it was a very reasonable sermon. It made sense. And it makes sense to us these 2,000-some years later. In all that exciting, chaotic situation, What I just got through reading, Peter just stood up. Here's the noise, here's the fire, here's the tongues. Peter stands up and they shut up. They had to. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know what I got from God, what happens. I'll tell you what it's all about. By the way, when we get done with 3,000 people got saved, so there's a bunch of them there. Here they are. Peter's going to talk to them. He's going to talk to them from the Bible. He's going to talk to them what God has said, what God is doing. Can you see him as he raises his voice? I put it up and said, this is what has been foretold by Joel the prophet. And what I just got through reading is what Joel the prophet had said. Where did he get that? Think about this a little ways. Here's this disciple. He says, I got the word. Where did he get that word? He got the word from the Old Testament prophet. Well, why would he get it from the Old Testament prophet? Ah, you people that are Bible people, you know that 10-day period? You know what they were doing? They were looking in the Bible to see what this was all about. Oh, that's what that Joel was talking about. Oh, you don't think I think that right? Oh, yes, I do. I got it here. If I find it in my notes. That's page 2. That won't work good. I know that there were two people that knew what God said. You remember that? You're with me. You remember that? When Jesus rose from the dead, he talked to two people on the way to Emmaus. He is a risen Savior. He talked to the people as they were going along. And do you remember what he told them? You do. He reviewed the Old Testament scriptures that pointed to him. That's what he did. That's what they heard. They heard Jesus, the resurrected Savior, say, this was referring to me. This was referring to me. This was referring to me. Do you think they kept their mouth shut? I don't think so. If I heard that, I would tell everybody that would listen. And everybody that would listen would tell others that would listen. And this is a group that wish, oh, here they are on Pentecost. Jesus told them, you wait a while, I'm going to send them. Here they are. They had heard all this, and they had been studying this Old Testament. They kind of knew what was going on here. So Peter gets up and explains it all to them. And this is what I wrote down here. Peter, let me see, that's page 2. I still have to get done to page 1. Hang in there, folks. Peter describes what has taken place from God's viewpoint, and our man Peter quotes Joel, I got that. Can't you just visualize this? He quotes David. Oh, he quotes David here, too. I guess we better get David. Drop down to verse, this is a quote from the Old Testament. He's got these people all listening to him now, these people with a fire on their head, and the wind, like wind blowing around there, whatever it is. He said, oh, by the way, I want you to get this. So Peter stands up and says, listen to David, verse 25. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. David is saying this. For he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. This man knew God, but he didn't know what he was talking about yet. We know what he really didn't understand yet. For he did understand this verse. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to seek correction. He went to see the Lord when he died, by the way, about 1,000 years. Oh, yeah, 1,000 years before Jesus came. He did know the Lord. He followed the Lord. He went to the Lord. That's another sermon. Verse 28. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. That was a total statement of faith by David. And God fulfilled it in his place. Now, before I read any farther, let's make sure I got as far as I'm supposed to go here. Ah, yeah. Oh, okay. Let's go read on to what he says later here. When I run, I studied it for the sermon, I kept looking at these words, men and brethren. Well, there were some women there too, don't you ladies pick? They would, that thing didn't happen without women, don't even think about it. Men and brethren and women, sister, he should have said. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David. So he says, now David said this, now look what he says. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you with the patriarch David, that he both is dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today, right over there. I take you to his tomb. He didn't raise from the dead. Therefore, being a prophet, God made David a prophet. It be him being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath that when God swears with an oath, by the way, and God makes an oath, it's going to happen. Read it all the way through your Bible. When God says it, he does it. When God said this, he's going to do it too. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that is of the fruit of his body, according to his flesh. See, he's in David's line. He would raise up the Christ to set on his throne. The throne of David, the throne all the way back there. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, even though he didn't understand it. That his soul, that is, his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. He was there 3 days and he resurrected. That's the Christ that David didn't know he's talking about, that Peter does know what he's talking about. Okay, let's creep on. Here it is. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, the biggest therefore in this whole passage. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. I'll pick it up there in just a minute. I want to make sure I got where I'm supposed to be. I told you that the message was Bible-centered. I've read to you from Joel and I've read to you from David. And I've read to you from these people that were listening. They would listen to Peter, said, listen, I want you to know that way back in David's time, way back in Joel's time, that God had given these people the insight and the foresight to be able to prophesy this Messiah that we just got through seeing go up to heaven 10 days ago. That's what he saw. He said, now we get, that's what David predicted, that's what Joel predicted, and that's what we saw. Now, not only is that whole Bible in the background, the whole Old Testament that looks to Jesus. Now, Peter says, by the way, this is what you now see. This is it. This is what you now see. Well, this is my second point. This is a Christ-centered message. Let's make sure I got the details of what I'm supposed to say. We need to remember that all this was happening, that was happening there right in front of them, on Pentecost, had been told to the disciples before Jesus. Oh, yeah. Let me read these two scriptures. Jesus told them he was going to send them the Holy Spirit. When Jesus told them he was going to send the Holy Spirit, this is what he told them. You can check me out if you want to, but I'm just going to read it. This is what he told them in, let me see. I got to get here. John 15:26. The disciples, he's ready to go to die on a cross not very many days later. This is what he said. When the counselor or the helper, that is, we know, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will, here it is, he will testify of me. Jesus Christ is the center of this. This Holy Spirit that comes and that came into you when you got saved and lives in you, we'll talk about that later on. His job is to remind you of who God is and to remind you what Jesus has done. That's what that Holy Spirit and what God can do inside of you all the time. That's the Holy Spirit. They had another one. I'll give you another one. This is what else the disciples are told before Jesus even went to the cross. In John 16:14, he, that is, the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. Peter's message here is explaining that. They got the scriptures, they got the promise from Jesus before he died. They got those promises, and he kind of tells them a little bit what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And now Peter's message, it says, preach, and this is what Peter said. In verse 22 again, go way back there, look at it. Well, 22 and 23. Peter says, this is what was told to us. This is what happened. This is what it is. Look at 22 and 23. This is a sermon about Jesus. Men and brethren, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. They heard all. They saw all of them. They saw that Jesus walk on the water. They saw Jesus, that Jesus. That Jesus. Okay, well, let's read attested. Oh, yeah, I had to look that word up, so I got to tell you what that says. When I find it, I'll tell you. Where is that? Preached about this, Jesus of Nazareth. Hang on there. Oh, there it is. You didn't know what it meant either. Attested. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means certified to be true. How you like that? Let's read it that way. See how you probably got some modern Bible that says it. I don't know. Jesus of Nazareth, a man that is proven to be true. This is a real thing, Peter says. He is attested. That it was attested, I got to read that again, attested by God to you by miracles. You see, it was proved to be true that this Son of God, this Jesus was the Son of God. That's the proof. You guys saw it, he says. He's standing before these people in this great Pentecost time, and he says to them, verse 23, him being delivered by determined purpose of foreknowledge of God, you have taken, see, this is Christ, taken by a lawless hand, crucified, put to death. Oh, by the way, God raised him from the dead. That's the one we're talking about. That resurrected Christ. But you see, what they're seeing is what the resurrected Christ sent. They didn't see Jesus. They saw what Jesus said was going to happen and who was going to come, and that's the Holy Spirit. You get it? Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Let me see if I got it all. Hang up there. I'm an old person. I got to stay with my notes or the whole world will fall apart. Okay, it was possible. Oh, by the way, let's read the last part of. Let's read verse 24. If you get this, you got it. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. There is the resurrected Christ, who now sends the Holy Spirit that David talked about, that Joel talked about. Got it? Okay. I think I get to the last, finally get to point number three. Now we get David's prophecy. We went through that. It just amazes me. He's in Jerusalem. When Peter stands up, the thing that amazes me and the thing that just floats it up, that floats my boat, is that this, what does Peter look like? He looks like kind of like a Baptist preacher. That's what he looks like. Okay. Peter stands up there. He says, you guys, this is what happened. Jesus said he was going to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus has left. He's gone. He said he sent. Now, here he is. He's come. Let's see what this is all about. Oh, we just men and brethren again. Let's go there. I'll go quickly. We'll go quickly. I got lots of time. You got lots of time. You got all the time until I'm going to quit, right? Okay, here we go. I got to get away from that platform because it makes it whistle. Men and brethren, let me speak freely of you, of the patriarch David, that he's both dead, buried in his tomb, and with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn him with an oath to him, the fruit of his spirit, according to the flesh, we read that. Here it is. He would raise up the Christ to sit on the throne. Jesus Christ is back in heaven today on the throne beside his Father. he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh receive corruption. Look at verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received the Father from the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you see and hear. This is what the Holy God, Jesus, has done. Now we read on. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, this is what David said. The Lord said to my Lord, set up my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. That's what God said. That's what people said. I got to make sure I got everything here. He's in Jerusalem. He's talking to people that, oh, by the way, just a few days before, they all wanted to crucify him. That's the people. He's before the temple when those at Sanhedrin had really made it happen that he got killed. Yet here he stands, unafraid. I love that. Jesus has, he says, unafraid because Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. He was witnessing what he knew to be true. Jesus was the Son of God. The center part of Jesus, Peter's message, is Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk about the Holy Spirit. He's going to explain what the Holy Spirit's doing. But he really wants them to recognize that the whole thing that they're talking about and he's going to preach about is the Savior who died on the cross for their sins, rose again the third day, and when they trust in him, they can go to heaven. That's what he's going to really talk to them about. They got it. We'll talk about that in a minute. He had sent the promised one, I got that, the resurrection of Christ raised victorious over sin, death, and hell. By the way, that's for today. If you understand that you're a sinner, I'm getting ahead of myself, and that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners, and you realize he rose again victorious over sin, death, and hell, he didn't have to do that for himself. He was perfect. He did that for you because you're a sinner. Those that in that day will hear Peter's sermon and believe what he says get saved, and they get on their way to heaven. That's what happened there. That's what happened. That's what those signs are all about. God wanted to, because you see, that's where the church as we know it began. Up till that time, you had to be a Jew or get to be a Jew or got all mixed up with Jews. Everybody, I don't understand that very well. But I live 2,000 and some AD, so I'm all set. The Holy Spirit has come on that day, and ever since that day, when a person has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the one that was sent there comes in your life, the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you about him in just a minute. I will tell you how you know you're saved. And I will tell you how to live and get help after you get saved from the Holy Spirit that lives in here. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. All right, let me see. It's for all believers. Have you got that by now? Okay. I have one more point. Oh, I got two. This was a completely reasonable sermon. I hope that you have heard today, and I've tried to go over it a couple, three times, is completely reasonable to you. Peter says, you know what I have told you is true. And then you get one of those, this is the main thing. When he gets all done preaching, there's that great therefore. You want to read it? Verse 36, let's read it again. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, that's who was there at that time, now know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom, there it is, you crucified, he has made him both Lord and Christ. They got it. He's the God that's forever God. He is the resurrected God. He is the God that sent the Holy Spirit. He's the Christ that died on the cross for everyone's who would believe sins. If you don't believe, you won't get there. Now he tells them what to do. He says, this is what he said. Now he tells them what to do. See it? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's the Holy Spirit. You get him. When you have Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. Well, you've got to get baptized. Oh, that's spirit baptism, I think. I got to hold you. They got baptized because they got saved. Okay? It'll take me another whole Baptist sermon to get that straightened around. But anyway, you just have to believe that. You know that. Baptism doesn't save you. Never has, never will. But what did save them is trusting in this Lord Jesus Christ, dead, buried, resurrected. That's what got them saved. And he kept on going. We don't know what he says. He says in verse 39, for the promises to you and all your children, to all those that are far off, as many as the Lord will call. And with many other words, he testified, exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. When Peter got done with that sermon, look what happened. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's a Billy Graham type. Anyone that needs to know the Lord as your Savior, come down here, you see that? That's the same deal. Peter says, if you understand what went on here, you understand the Lord Jesus Christ went to heaven after he died for your sins, rose again. You understand all that? He sent the Holy Spirit to let you know that you can have his Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, I kind of skipped. No, I didn't skip something, but maybe I did skip it. There's two things that the Holy Spirit does in your life. He comforts you and he confronts you. If you are a Christian, you know it. You know how? Remember the last time you sinned? Probably 30 minutes ago for some of you, because you're already sinning and being against that old long preacher saying, no, I don't know why. Anyway, when you sin, you know it. Because the Holy Spirit's in there. That's how. The Holy Spirit came, he comes into every Christian. The other way you know it is a song that comes to my heart. Oh, spread the tidings round, got it? Wherever man is found. You know what that next verse is? The Comforter has come. If you belong to the Lord and you trust in the Lord, you have up and down in your life. You have sin come out, you have sin go, you have all the, but all the time, since that day, the Holy Spirit dwells in every Christian. He tells you what's wrong on the inside, and he tells you what's right on the inside. I belong to Jesus. And one of the main ways I know it is that the Holy Spirit says, you belong, you are his. Now, yeah, preacher, you don't do everything right, you better get it right, that's that part. Preacher, you belong to me, and I'm going to take you home because I promised I would, and I can do it because I rose from the dead over victorious of sin, death, and hell. Got it? It's the most wonderful thing there is. Okay, I'll just talk to you now. I put it this way. It still works that way today. Those that receive Jesus Christ, I wrote this out so I'll get it right. Those that receive Jesus as their personal Savior by believing on the death, the burial, and the 3 days in hell for us, resurrected, paying, I don't understand all that. I just know that it said when Jesus Christ rose, I believe that, and I repent. That is, I don't just say, hallelujah, I'm in. I turn away from my sin. I turn away from myself and selfishness, and I receive and believe Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You're in, and you'll never get out. That's it. You receive the Holy Spirit the day you got it. It just happens. Now, I had the Holy Spirit in me for a long time before I knew it. I was saved as a young boy, very young boy. But I know that the Holy Spirit worked in me long before I knew what he was doing. He kept me out of that and got me in there. That was the Holy Spirit. I expect him to take care of me. I expect him to say, hey, preacher, don't go there. I received the Holy Spirit the day I got saved. He's in you to comfort and convict you. Now the song that popped, and we're going to sing a song in a minute, but the song, a song is popping in my mind all the time now, and you get to listen to them. Well, not on tune, but just a minute. Oh, I got to get it here. Here we go. Cheer up, I'm done. Well, it'll take five more minutes. You remember this one? I don't know what's the matter with that pulpit. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone. Did you get the rest of that? But for eternity. Doesn't that thrill your soul? It warms the cockles of my heart, wherever that is. I belong to Jesus. And that day just lights my fire. We never are going to be in that Pentecost. Don't try to work it up or pray it down. That was that one day. But I tell you what you can have. You can have the comfort of the Holy Spirit that you belong to Him and that you're forever going to be with Him. And the nice thing you can have is also the conviction of the Holy Spirit that keeps you walking on the straight and narrow. I want to do that. I belong to the Lord. You see that? I think I'm done. We're going to sing 220.